Darkness is mystery. Darkness is no light. Darkness means it's harder to navigate. Darkness has been moderated by the wonder of light from flame since ancient times, and only about 140 years ago from light bulbs and more recently LEDs, all powered by our learning how to generate and harness electricity. For millions of years of human life prior to that, darkness was a more dominant force than it is now. Our human civilizations have learned how to make peace with the dark and the cold of this season. People in the far north have had long and deep experience trying to deal with it, much of it difficult. It seems that at the height or depth of darkness, we have an urge to come together. And with many ways to escape darkness, now is when we bring out everything from holiday lights to tropical vacations to moderate the experience of the dark and the cold. I have some experience accepting darkness. I often practice music at a cabin I built when I was a young man by the creek behind my house near Niwot. It's 8 by 12 feet and funky and has a wood stove and no electricity but a battery lantern. Most nights, I walk a few minutes down to the creek, and despite the dark, I like not using a flashlight. I can find my way. By the time I get there, my eyes have adjusted, and I can just about see the cabin as I approach. I push the door open and enter. Though I can't see anything, I know where to reach for the lighter and the paper and the kindling and the small wood stove door, and in a minute or two, I've got a fire started. The bright flickering light is so special to me after several minutes of dark. I can see enough to add wood to the fire, close the stove door, and wait in the dark for the cabin to warm up, which took a fair amount of time yesterday. But it did get warm. My banjo is in easy reach, and it responds so nicely to my touch, its tones filling the quiet little cabin. I might lose myself in sound and become unaware of whether my eyes are open or closed. We can all close our eyes now, if you'd like, and be in our own individual darkness and get a taste of that sound. When I start thinking of a few extraordinary people I've known, blind musicians, who have never seen their instrument or the smiles on people's faces attentively listening. I love the story of Doc Watson when he first came to New York City years ago from North Carolina when he was in his 40s. It was June and hot at night when he and his fellow travelers were trying to sleep. The air conditioner had broken. Doc was handy with tools, so he got a hold of some and started working on the air conditioner in the dark. The others lay awake while Doc worked away. At one point, someone trying to be helpful offered him a flashlight. Doc just said, "No thanks." That's the story. We are blind to so many things, and just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. I'm not talking about imaginary rabbits, etc., but when you're in the dark, how would you know what else is there? When there's no light, you need other ways to know. There are now more and more ways of knowing all about things we cannot see. Thanks to the invention of glass, which led to microscopes and telescopes, and the amazing work of scientists, many things we can't normally see, whether inside of us or as far away as thousands of light years away from us, are now well known to us. Many things are going on underground as we speak, in both nature and in our society. So many different things are at different various stages of gestation. We won't see their manifestations until some months from now, but we know they're coming. A new world in spring will unfold. The green grass of summer will grow back again. And on that subject, here is a song I made up in that cabin. When I was a boy, I would wander through the green fields of the summer. Oh, the sweet, happy days and a life without care till the cold spring of autumn returned to the air. Now the grasses of summer have fallen again under the stake of the snow and the wind. I'll wait the dark nights for this winter to end, then the green grass of summer will grow back again. I've lived through many cold winters. I've seen dreams weathered and splintered, but a tiny spark of life yet will burn, and the fresh buds of springtime will always return. Now the grasses of summer have fallen again under the weight of the snow and the wind. I'll wait the dark night for this winter to end, then the green grass of summer will grow back again. Now the oak tree stands tall, the strong roots live through the cold, the forces of life keep their hold, and a new world in spring will unfold, and the green grass of summer will grow back again. Now the grasses of summer have fallen again under the weight of the snow and the wind. I'll wait the dark night for this winter to end, then the green grass of summer will grow back again.
I was born December 29th, 1968. On a Sunday, not much different than today. There had been a snowstorm the day before, and it was about as cold as it is now outside. Maybe that's why I love this time of year. I went out for a walk on Friday night. It was snowing, and 3 to 4 inches had already fallen. Walking in a snowstorm at night is one of my favorite things to do. The air is crisp and clear. Snow muffles most of the sound. And for most of my walk, the only thing I heard was the crunch of snow. Everything seemed to be illuminated. A blanket of snow covers the world. And even though the days are shorter and the nights are longer, a snowstorm like that helps break the cycle of the long dark. When I was young, we would stay out late, sleigh riding and having snowball fights, hoping for a snow day so we can continue the next day. Even the next day, though, the brightness of the day is energizing. As I ended my walk, I stopped in front of my neighbor's house, laid down in the snow, and made a snow angel. I hadn't done that in years. And if you can, I suggest you go out and make a snow angel. And although winter, as Pete had said before, is the season of dormancy, darkness, and cold, the December solstice marks the turning of the sun. The days slowly get longer. Celebrations of lighter days to come and nature's continuing cycle have been a common theme throughout cultures, with feasts, festivals, and holidays around the December solstice. Traditionally, the solstice was an important time. Marking the seasons was extremely important, so they knew how long food supplies would last. In many cultures, they would harvest the livestock so they wouldn't have to feed them through the long winter, keeping just enough to regrow the herd in the spring. So it was one of the only times of year that meat was plentiful. Additionally, the wine and beer that had been made earlier in the year finally fermented and was good enough to drink. Naturally, this would be a good time to have a feast, a celebration of the old and its harvest, as well as looking forward to the new year. There are many celebrations that take place around the solstice. The Yule was a pre-Christian holiday, marking the rebirth of the sun god and the longer days to come. In Poland, there was a pre-Christian festival called Godi, which involved people sharing their food and forgiving. In the northwest corner of Pakistan, a festival called Chamas involves purification baths, singing and chanting, dancing, bonfires, and feasting. All around the world, the solstice is glorified. In the southern hemisphere, it happens 6 months later, but many of the same themes are present. Typically, these celebrations last for days, with 12 being a common number. Many share themes of birth, death, rebirth, the cyclical year, and enduring the longest night of the year by having a festival to share with your friends and family to bring in the new year. In addition, there was also some cultures that celebrated role reversal, where the masters served the slaves for the day. There's still a long winter ahead, but the sun had been reborn. And as far back as 5,000 years ago, there's a record of Egyptians celebrating the solstice with a 12-day festival, adorning their houses with greenery, using palm leaves, 12 typically, one for each month. So these traditions most likely go back even further than that. Early nightfall, crisp mornings, the sharp silhouette of leaf-bare branches, Orion marching across the evening sky. These are some of the familiar signs of winter. We often speak of turning inward, becoming quiet and introspective, staying home more often, and sleeping longer. But there's another side of winter that contrasts with our natural inclination to rest and contemplate. Regardless of our spiritual or cultural heritage, there's a good chance that we find ourselves caught up, perhaps involuntary or just out of habit, in a commercial swirl known as the holidays that leave us depleted in more ways than one. The solstice is 3 days away, and for many of us, it's a difficult time of year. The short days, the long nights, the cold, the snow, bring many people down with dreariness. The expected merriment of the seasons creates an anxiety to be happy, regardless of how you really feel. And finding gifts and seeing family is not always joyous. Perhaps this year, with some preparation and planning, we can plant the seeds for a more intuitive, simpler, and natural holiday season. Whether it's Christmas, the winter solstice, Hanukkah, or any of the other many holidays that take place late in December. This can have a profound way to tune into the magic and beauty of the season. For people throughout the ages, the ancient Egyptians, Celts, and Hopi, midwinter has been a significant time of ritual and reflection and renewal. Creating a meaningful celebration can help us cultivate a deeper connection to nature, family, and all the things that are most important to us. Winter can become a time of feeding the spirit and nurturing the soul, not just emptying our bank account and fraying our nerves. I'm not suggesting that we don't participate in the exchange of gifts, just that we bring more to this festive year. As Pete had stated in his opening words, we're not as dependent on the seasons as we once were, thanks to electric lights, heaters, and the fact that less and less people actually are involved in agriculture. But we hold on to the traditions. In the United States, many retail businesses rely on Christmas as the season to carry them through the year. The season of giving gifts brings me to the theme this month, presents. When I was young, I was told that the giver received more than the receiver. But like most children, I thought, I'd rather be the receiver. But as I have aged, I've come to find out that giving truly is the greater. It's a symbiotic relationship, for you can't have a giver if there's not someone to receive. We should be thankful for anyone who spends the time, energy to get us a gift that they think that we will like. Of course, the theme of the month is about being present, not presents. Being there for someone shows you care enough to give your most precious gift, your time and your attention. There's an old Buddhist saying, present moment, only moment. Everything that is occurring occurs in the present moment, occurs now. Everything that is remembered now, in the present moment. To be there for others, especially in their time of need, we must learn that sometimes we don't have a fix or a save to offer those who we are with, and yet we have something better. Our gift of self in the form of personal presence and attention, the kind that invites the other soul to show up. If you can do this, then your presence is very much needed in the world. Being present in the moment and engaging actively in the world around us doesn't mean that you can't plan for the future or look back upon history. I believe that it keeps yourself grounded in the present. You should understand that the past and the future, that way you can understand the cycles of the earth. Due to the current political storm brewing in Washington, many people have a sense of dread. I offer this quote by James Thurber, an American cartoonist, author, journalist, playwright, who wrote this in one of his works in 1962. Let us not look back in anger, nor forward in fear, but around us in awareness. I think this applies very well to the world today. No sense in being angry with what has happened or fearing which has yet to occur. We must be present and aware now. If you see an injustice happening and you can do something, please do. I encourage you to go out in the world and let your presence be felt.